Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Excitement. We get pretty excited in this episode, somewhere in between minutes 13 to 14. So if you have sensitive ears, please turn down your volume. Apologies in advance if it does hurt your auditory senses. And with that, hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. I'm Gil, again joined by Corey and Rob. How are you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Doing well. There.
Yeah, so
it's good. We got our pre-releases, and so very, very excited to get into this new set here.
Week one. The pre-release week is coming to a close. I think there's still one or two stores that are still doing pre-releases now. I think one locally to me, like 10 minutes away, is doing a Wednesday night. But here I am doing the podcast recording. We're gonna just some logistics stuff before we kind of get into the rest of the video. Or episode? I don't know. Episode is probably the most appropriate word. Logistics speaking, well, first of all, for anyone who's listening that's new, welcome to the podcast. This is a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast that was started 39 weeks ago, I think, at this point. And and so it's been almost a year. We're closing in on a year, getting there. And I started YouTube a couple of months ago. And it's been growing. So we're at 170-something subs. So within the last week, got like 20 more subs, which is really great news. Thank you so much for all the support. Thank you for listening, and look towards the future for some fun giveaways. Like I mentioned before, particularly to the podcast listeners, once we hit 500 subs on the YouTube channel, we're going to raffle off 2024 convention pack. Right. I don't really advertise this on any of the other videos. It's literally only the podcast episodes. So like one of the things I'm going to do for this episode specifically, starting this episode, is I'm going to create like a raffle form. I'm going to put it in the description. And then anyone who's like actually like on like Spotify and like looking at the description or like Apple Podcast, you're going to see the link. Click it. It'll have you fill out some basic information, which I'm not going to sell. To be clear, it's really just for this raffle, and it's going to be something ridiculous. Like whoever is a podcast listener that fills out this form is going to get like 100 entries, you know, like so that you are as an OG, like you proportionally will get more chances to get this pack than anyone else is listening, because we don't really advertise it outside the podcast. So you can keep it to yourself, but also, I don't know, share the wealth, I guess. some logistical stuff for anyone who's listening. So we have a rough structure at Padawan Unlimited, right? We have like, you know, minor topic, major topic kind of thing. But just to add, we're gonna try something. So shout out to a Bloody Viking Gaming for the suggestion. In one of the comments, we're gonna use it. So what we're going to do is every episode now is going to have, for at least a couple episodes, we're going to do a collection update, kind of like the state of the collection for like 5 minutes or so, like something like that. We're going to talk about the meta, which will be more Rob focused. And then we're going to go into the main topic. And that main topic can be a variety of things. And you know how at Padawan Unlimited, we do a lot of kind of different topics like coaching. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So today the main topic is still going to be related to the meta, but specifically draft and draft strategy. Oh, and then we're going to do some Carbonite pack openings. We all have our packs. We're going to open this live before we get into
it. I didn't even open it.
You didn't even open your box. That's wild. So, okay. So Corey's not going to open the entire box, but he will open the box to get the pack from it. And then we'll see what we're gonna get.
We're doing that now. Are we doing pack openings?
Well, we're doing collection. We're gonna start with the collection pack. We're gonna be adding
to our collection. So maybe that's what we do here.
Yeah. So Corey, we'll go to you for like the state of the collection. Mm-hmm. And then maybe at the end of your segment, we'll open the packs before we go into the meta talk. Is that cool?
Cool. Yeah, let's do it. So the collection, it's basically when the set dropped, we had all the pre-release stuff come out, and I pre-ordered the Carbonite boxes, obviously. And so I got some of those from the pre-release, but I actually haven't gotten any regular boosters at all, because I planned on getting some of, we're splitting a box, right, Gil? So we're waiting for actual release for those
yeah,
to get them. But I did open up a few of the Carbonite boxes, two of them. I opened two, and I bought a loose pack at Mythico Studios, where we did our first pre-release. And what I opened was three showcases.
Dude.
Here we go.
So good.
Boba.
He needs two
Akbars.
He needs the third one. So if you're watching,
I'm holding them up there. And so, yeah, so those are great. But we also got the prestige cards. And so the prestige cards are gorgeous. And I just want all of the prestige cards if I can. Especially, like, I want the foil ones for the collection. But the non-foil ones are great because those are playable. They're absolutely playable and look awesome on the table. And so I'm looking forward to getting some of those or more of those or the playsets of them. I love that they create a picture with some of the ships, like the Tantive and the Devastator and Victor Leader and Red 5. That's such a cool thing that they did there. And so adding to my collection there. So excited. But I did do one thing, a crazy thing at a Highlander.
What did you do?
I traded for a serialized card.
Did you really?
You did trade.
What did
I did
you...
it?
Oh, you traded for the six, the 666.
It is a invincible six, 006. Let's see if we get that number on there.
Oh my god!
So I traded a lot, but for me, I was like, you know what? I'm okay with this. So I traded a carbonite box sealed. And
okay.
I traded the convention pack sealed.
Oh, are you serious? Bro, that's I mean, it's a six. It's single digit. So, I mean.
And more. And I also gave an open convention pack. So I traded a lot away. But as far as the value goes, for me, I think for my value, I wanted a single digit number. And so I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it.
I mean, that's also a really good one. Invincible is six cost, 6/6, and you got number six.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm happy about it. Excited to get it graded. I'm going to try to get it graded. So we'll see.
Yeah, which is interesting. So when you say graded, for anyone who's in the collector scene, right? I didn't know this, but there's actually a lot of different grading, like, sites or places to do it.
Depending on the card game, you want to get different grading sites. PSA is probably the most well known.
Yeah.
But PSA, it's funny because if you're a One Piece fan, PSA, they will give things tens all the time because the quality of the card stock and the cards themselves are higher than other card games. And so they get tens a little bit more. So you want to go with a different company. I think Beckett,
I think. Yeah.
Something like that. That's the other one you look out for. But I've never graded things because I've always had a fear of, like, sending my cards away to never see them again. It's like, they're never coming back. Like, I'm not handling it. I'm like, someone's looking at it, like, they're going to mess it up. Like, you know, I'm always worried about that. But people do it all the time. So, I think I need to just get that out of my system and be like, all right, we're gonna do it. And there's a store close to my work that does, like, bulk stuff. So you'll get like a bunch of people, and it's like, hey, we're gonna do a PSA grading event, and they send them out together.
Yeah.
And
so
I might send you my Mist Hunter.
Yeah.
just to get it graded. I mean, because I'm never gonna play it.
So that's cool. Again, that's those little pieces of, like, collector information. Especially people who are new to trading card games, like myself, that, like, I think is very useful. So there's a variety of sites. I think Beckett, PSA, and the other one I found out about is actually Tag, which I actually like the most, even though it's not the most popular right now. I think the way the process that they've done it, because I've seen my brother has graded some Pokemon cards with using them recently, and he showed me the entire process. It's, like, really, really cool. Like, they like scan your card, and then they show you, like, actually why something's graded a certain way. I'm not saying that they're 100% perfect, but it's actually pretty cool. Anyway, so that Yeah, that's that. But that's pretty awesome. I actually want to get some cards graded too. I think maybe some of my showcases that I really like. Definitely want to do that. Do you think it's actually increases the value or decreases the value generally?
Oh, it's going to increase the value if you get a high number. If it's a bad number, then it will decrease the value potentially because it's proving that this card is not as mint condition as it could be or pristine.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, so, like, from what I understand, like, Pokemon, is that it's better if you're not getting a 10, don't even grade it. Like, a 9 is worth less than a raw card. Do you think that'll be the? Yeah. Do you think that's the same case for same thing for Star Wars Unlimited? Professional opinion.
For me, I would say that it's gonna be depends on the collector. I think because the raw card, the potential of getting a 10 is there, so it's kind of like open packs versus buying singles versus packs. Like, if you want to. Do you want to open that pack and pull that serialized card, or do you want to just buy it? And so, yeah, that the potential of getting a 10 with a raw card is there to make it a little bit more valuable. But once you've proven it's not a 10, then it could hurt its value there. So,
okay.
But the risk is worth it, I think. If you really feel like the card's in a good condition, go for it.
I mean,
they do make things that you can put your cards in to flatten them. Like, it pulls out all the moisture and everything, so you can like flatten them before.
See, these are things I didn't know, and we're gonna go into this as time goes on. We'll talk more about collection, so let's save some of the content for the for the future. But Rob, you're gonna say something.
I was gonna say, I mean, the other thing is that I don't know if you guys are familiar with Beckett's scale, but Beckett, there's you know, the normal 1 through 10, but also if you are a perfect 10 in all four categories, you get a black label, and the black labels are incredibly valuable.
Okay, well, see, something to talk about next week, I think, because I don't want to. This is fascinating to me. I mean, this is a whole new world, like straight up Aladdin and Jasmine, like a whole new world for me. I'm sure it's gonna
be bust out in song.
Yeah, for some other players as well. Okay, so. So hold off until we've talked about for this segment the collector edition. Let's open some packs.
Let's do it. I'm gonna actually flip to a top down camera.
Oh yeah, let's do it. While you do that, me and Rob will just vamp a little bit. So I bought my pack literally today at a local game store. So I
that's
took
awesome that they have it.
Yeah, they actually had a lot. And what's interesting, it was a fresh box from a fresh case. So, it's, you know, and we'll see what happens.
My fresh box.
Yeah, I love fresh box.
Oh, we're going to open that.
Which one are you going to take? The front, back,
all
side?
All right, well, I was going to ask you guys, what do you think? What do you want to, where should I
go? Fourth on the right.
1, 2. Oh, that one's tucked down in there.
That's because it's heavy with another serialized card.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Okay. Do you want to open it together, or like, do you want to open it separately and just
nah,
like, cool.
Let's do them one at a time.
Okay, Corey. Yeah, Corey, you can go first.
I got my top down, so.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
God, tell me if it's a showcase or something. I'm gonna go ballistic. Oh, shit! So it's a freaking Poe showcase that he just pulled. Sorry. Deep apologies to anyone who's listening. If we just blew up your eardrums, but
sorry, you might have to do some editing on that.
That
is amazing.
See, called it.
You don't like Rob. You did. What a call there.
So this is a callback to the aura that Rob and I have, particularly Rob, when it comes to the plus one to showcase pulls, is ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So
I'm shaking.
That is so, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. That's wild.
Mr. Four showcases over here. I haven't pulled a single showcase yet, by the way.
Oh man.
Oh, that's amazing. So as you sleeve that up, now I'm curious to see what's in the prestige slot, because that's a good looking showcase.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that is amazing. Alright, sure. So we're just gonna go through these a little quicker.
Yeah.
There's the rare slot.
Tier one.
Oh no. Oh no, it's a phantom. That's so funny.
All right. Fireball's cool.
Fireball's a good one.
Razor Crest and
cool. No disintegrations.
That's pretty nice. Hyper spoil.
Okay, Rob, you're next.
All right. So here we go.
I can't believe that's.
It ain't gonna happen.
You gotta believe. You gotta trust in the Force, and about how.
Nope.
It's a Kaz.
It is Kaz Kazuda. All right. So I'll kind of go quickly.
Yeah. Okay.
So Garen, that's Academy graduate.
All right. Let's.
I'm doing this backwards. This shuttle.
R2D2.
This is my rare. This is Hot Shot Maneuver.
Okay.
Foil shuttle.
Yeah, it's a foil shuttle.
All right. So, so far we've got a showcase hit, a foil. Wild.
And, do you get legendary? That means you got to get a.
I got to see. What it, nope. Nothing yet. And last slot.
Come on, legendary.
Nope. Nothing.
All right. So, this is my pack. I'm going to open it on. I'm going to open up front. I swear to God. Rose Seiko. So
it's Rose.
It's Rose. Desperate. It's Rose. Oh, sorry. Desperate Commando. This is kind of weird too. Swarming Vulture Droid, which I want 15 of these.
You got get six of them.
Occupier Wingman Victor 3. Contracted Hunter. The Starhawk foil. That's
legendary foil. Yep.
Admiral Yularen. And
all right.
No, that's a double rare.
Profundity, regular.
Profundity.
Non-foil. Nice. Which, right. Yeah, you know what? Can't complain. Two legendaries, right?
Yeah. You're not done.
Adept Tank, this guy, Death Skirmisher, Light Cruiser, Kid, Fett's Fire Spray,
nice.
Dilapidated, Ski Speeder,
and finally,
Wingman Victor 2. All right.
I do have one more if we want to do it since I got it. So
I mean,
okay. I might as well
if you want to do it. I can't believe you pulled that showcase. That's crazy. One shot.
I apologize for the scream. Okay.
I'll make an announcement in the beginning of the podcast. All right, what do we got?
Oh, Rose.
That's another Rose Tico. All
right. I'll go through anything that's a hit. Let's see.
Yeah.
Raddus.
Mm-hmm. Raddus foil.
Yep. Corvus foil.
Nice.
And the Ghost foil.
Ooh, foil Ghost. Oh,
heck yeah. Right. Legendary foil Ghost. That's pretty good.
All right. And then hyperspaces. Let's see. Anything good? I see something. The Invisible Hand.
I do like the Invisible Hand. Especially in draft. Kind of fun.
Yep. Mm. And we had a nice little foil gold leader at the end. That's
okay. So,
yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, so overall, our pack pull rate is one showcase and four packs. I don't think we'll do this.
Pretty good.
We should talk about some pull rates in a second here.
It's crazy. I am 3 for 3 in showcase boxes. So every box I've opened, I've pulled a showcase. And then the loose pack, I've pulled a showcase. So. I can't complain. This has been crazy luck.
Yeah, crazy. Good.
Poe. I mean, Poe is such a great.
It's a good looking card.
Great showcase.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a good transition into meta because I'm not. I think he's good. I'm not sure how good he's going to be. He's interesting because I was talking with actually Sean, who you had on a couple weeks ago.
Sean Jin.
Yeah,
Qui-Shan Jinn. One of the lead innovators of Anakin Blue to perform really well at a competitive level for sure.
Yep,
in true. Top four, top two,
finalists. Yep, yeah,
exactly.
Multiple PQs doing really well.
And I kind of agree with the assessment because I didn't get. I haven't pulled him in draft. But he was saying there's some potential for him to kind of get stuck. So like when you flip him early and you put him on something, you're like, okay, cool, like. Go ahead and attack me for 3. And then you just leave him alone and then you don't have a leader flip. I'm not saying it's impossible. I think you can build him interestingly to deal with it, but I think he's not as sort of obvious as I thought he was going to be initially. But we're not talking about constructed yet. We're talking about sealed and draft. So
yeah.
I think it's been interesting to kind of see how people are playing, because for those of you who are not familiar with the formats, basically in both in Sealed and Draft, you are handed packs, and you have to build your deck out of those packs. So in Sealed, you get six, and you build out of the pile of cards that you pull out of those six. In Draft, you're handed three packs, and you select cards out of the three that are kind of passed around to you. Or the cards that are passed around to you. So there's different strategies for each one. Draft, you can get a little bit closer to a constructed deck because you're selecting cards that you want. In Sealed, you're just kind of making the best of what you get. And right now, it's interesting because I think leader-wise, I've been seeing a lot of Rose, a lot of Vader, and interestingly, a surprising number of Han, the Han leader, starter
in the pre-release
order.
In the pre-release
yeah,
kits.
In the pre-release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that I really like. Sorry, because you mentioned those three. I've tried Rose and I've tried Vader. Haven't tried Han yet. And Rose, it seems like if you get the card, she's like invincible. In that, yeah. in
it's so hard. From, you keep
sealed.
Things alive. It's yep. Very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one, and this is one that. Yeah. Yeah. For exactly. There's the other one that I think if you pull well, that's very good. But I think he's also going to be very good just in general as Wedge. So I had a box at the pre-release I went to this past weekend where I pulled five pilots in red and green, and I was able to build a Wedge deck off of it, and it is backbreaking when you like turn one drop like a 3/2 and then you put a pilot on it for free, put bigs on it basically. You can put bigs or you can put R2 on turn one, and so now you've got like a R2 is free regardless, but Biggs is a 2/1 that costs one, and then you can but you use Wedge's ability to make him cost zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
yeah, I'll say I've played Wedge as well. I went 2/1, and literally all that. Sometimes I'm just doing ground with him too, like
yep.
Especially on his attack or when on his flip when he's just any pilot trait just means you just one cost less. It's ridiculous, like. How,
yeah,
you
and they're
you,
ground vehicles too.
That yeah, yeah, that's the other thing. Pilot. You can flip them to ground. Yeah, it's very he's very strong if you get the right cards.
Blue leader on the ground with him is ridiculous.
Oh, it's bananas. I mean, blue leader in general. That was the other thing. I pulled red five and blue leader in that. So it's just like
so.
I had my box was juice.
So for anyone out there who it's Ren mechanic thing, but like blue leader is so good, and here's why: because at five resources you could. Keep this in mind. You can ambush him into space, defeat a unit, then pay the two resources to flip him to the ground as a 5/5 with two damage on him. And now he's a 5/3. After that damage. So keep that. Definitely keep that in mind. I don't know if everyone knows that. Like that's like how it like works with him sometimes with Blue Leader. Yeah. It's crazy. So sorry, Rob, for interrupting. But like you say these things, I'm like, oh, I get super excited because draft is fun.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of little tech with that, but I think Vader in particular is very strong, and it will be very strong in both draft and constructed. Because, draft and sealed. Because getting effectively 5 to 6 free TIE fighters, in a game that's gonna go long, is very very strong, and there's not a lot of removal, in this set. For constructed, you have access to all the cards, all the removal cards prior to now. But in this set, there's not a lot. There's direct hit, but it's an uncommon, so it's a little bit harder to come. Pretty sure it's.
So I have
it's a little bit harder to come by.
Yeah, I'll ask you about the Vader. I want both your opinions on it. I initially was high on him, and so I've tried him 2 or 3 times. One red, one cunning, so yellow, and I have not really. Maybe I'm playing him wrong, but I've not been finding a lot of success with him as a leader. Because I feel like people are just like taking out my space before I can do anything, so I can't even use his ability. What are your thoughts? And maybe we'll start with you, Rob, because it's just kind of you started the conversation about it. Maybe go to Corey about what he thinks as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's, anytime you're getting a free unit in a format that it's not tailored to like removing these types of things, it's strong. So, you know, like if you like, if you know, and I was lucky insofar as I pulled a War Juggernaut. So, you know, Vader flips on six, and then you're like, cool, you flipped on six. I'm gonna flip a War Juggernaut and kill your entire. That's a solution, right? But more often than not, you know, if you can build a board and you have like the Academy graduate, the 1-2 Sentinel pilot that's really, really cheap, really, really good, you know, any of these like cheap pilots that you can now suddenly start flipping out onto these 1-1 TIE fighters. Yeah, it's a 1-1 TIE fighter, but now you've made it a 2-3 with that, and it's a 2-3 Sentinel. You know, like there's a lot of little interactions there. It gives you bodies to be able to flip all these pilots out onto, and I think that's the thing that's very strong in Sealed right now, is that you're building you're sort of Voltroning together a bunch of units. So like just having the unit to be able to put it out onto without a broad base of removal is pretty strong.
Yeah, I think I was very high on Vader initially as well. I think we talked about it in tier list. I thought it was an A leader, but I don't think he is good enough with the leaders that we have in Sealed and Draft. I'm not gonna pick him over like Wedge, which you mentioned. I'm not gonna pick him over Boba, and Boba's in every like pre-release that we've done, so you're guaranteed a Boba. So I'm a little more down on him. I want to see someone make it work in a constructed format. Yeah. But as far as maybe with Draft, when you can really pick out what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
But the luck of the draw is too restricting for Vader right now, I think, in a Sealed event, unfortunately. Yeah.
I do think he's good, though. I mean, I think you can... I think it's
very easy. He's a good leader, and he's a big body. Like, when he comes out, he's hitting hard. But that's the other thing, though, is like Boba's also hitting really hard when he comes out.
Yeah, he's a 4-4.
And he's doing 4 damage. And so like he comes out, or Vader comes up first and Boba comes out, he just kills everything. Like you're saying, with War Juggernaut. If you're having 1-1s all over the place and you're doing all this indirect or direct damage, you're just killing everything. So
yeah, I think it's you're trying to, I think with Vader, what you're probably trying to do is, again, just build up some Voltron units, like, you know, use his ability to put out a body and then flip a body onto that. Yep. To that thing that you put out, and you know, make that harder to remove. But I do think that in general, Rose is very strong. Boba is also very strong. Like you put him on the Techno Union Transport. That I think it's a 3-5 shielded that drops, and then you flip Boba onto it. He's another 4-4 shielded, and then he does 4 when he comes out. Like he's tough to deal with. The other thing about that thing is it looks like it's a ground unit. It's actually a space unit.
There's some space units that look like ground units and vice versa.
The cloud car looks like it's a space unit. It's totally a ground unit.
Dude, that's it's so misleading, because no one, because in the set 2 version is space. So you're like,
obviously
it's tripped so many people up. I've seen that actually happen like 2 of the 3 events. So we've talked about some Sealed. And
I just want to throw out one more leader that's really strong and Sealed is Luke. Luke is very good.
Oh yeah, Luke is also very good.
Yeah, Luke.
Because there's just so many fighters. So like you're just basically pinging every round.
Yep. Yeah. So
where were you going?
But how about Draft? Because Sealed is not necessarily as common. Pre-releases are pretty much going to end this week. So as we go into the draft, you know, there's a different kind of meta. Like you said, you select some cards. So how about we round out this segment talking about meta with and I guess also the main topic anyway, draft, and say like who do you think are like one or two top leaders for draft, and then after we do that we'll talk about maybe one or two cards that we've seen in Seal that's like really been kicking butt and you know doing damage for us. I just sprung this on you guys, so I'll answer first while you guys think. But I think I think the general consensus is Rose is one of the best like out there, especially if you can combine her with her sister, Paige Tico, because you know it's as a pilot, because you get the attack, you get the experience before you attack, and you're always gonna heal it off, which is amazing. It makes you like crazy strong, and if you can pair it with like green or something, I think like it's a really solid combination. One card that has really stuck out to me was the 4/1 space unit with ambush. Mm-hmm. That card,
eager
the green escort. Card, right?
Yeah, eager the green eager escort, whatever. That card to me is so good. It's like essentially a removal at that point. I think it's absolutely. You know what I mean? Like it's a removal. You can decide not to ambush it, and then there's a four drop that someone has to deal with. Because then if you're playing wedge, for example, and then you allow someone to just put a pilot on it, it gets ridiculous. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's other cards out there, but like that one has stuck out to me a lot in decks playing for and against. Because like you said, there's not really much removal, and the removal that is there is like five costs. It's really expensive stuff. Anything with a strong ambush is solid, and it's not a legendary, unlike Han unit. So those are like mine. Very combo-y for sure, but like if you get those mm-hmm. cards, like you're pretty much gonna win. So
yeah, well I think you can be a little bit more combo-y in both draft and sealed, because it's not the decks aren't so tuned that you're worried about, like, because even with draft, like, you might get one or two removal events, but you're not getting like a handful of removal events, not in this set anyway. So for me I think Thrawn is actually going to be pretty good in draft.
In draft, okay.
Really? Tell me more.
because this set in particular has a lot of common level cards that have when defeated on them, particularly in blue. So you have things like Onyx Squadron Brute and the shuttle. The 2/4 shuttle that you draw when it's defeated.
Yeah.
And those are going to be staples in the constructed version of Thrawn, and you get them. You can potentially get them in draft. I don't think if you pull Thrawn and you're looking to build it, you're probably going to get past those cards as well, because I don't think people outside of Thrawn are really going to want, maybe Onyx, maybe the Onyx Squad Brute, but I don't think you're really going to want to necessarily draw those cards unless you have Thrawn, because it's a little bit less good, right? Hmm. You know, Onyx Squadron Brute, when defeated, heal 2. Okay, it's not great, but it's a little bit of chip. But with Thrawn, okay, now you're healing 4. That's really big. With the shuttle, now you're drawing 2. There's a lot of potential to, like, just with those two cards alone to start to build up a really good, strong blue based deck, and then you can put some of these other things in there. And then in terms of cards, I was very surprised by I shouldn't have been, but I was Guerrilla Soldiers. It's the 3/2/3 that when played deals 3 indirect. When you want to play that on 3 or on 3 resources, sorry, because when you play it, more often than not your opponent only has one thing on the board. So now they have to make a decision. Are they going to kill the unit that's across from them, with the three indirect? Because 3 indirect is enough to kill most one drops. Or do you let any of that damage go to base? And if you do, now that 2/3 readies. And it's just such a strong tempo play. You're going to see it in constructed.
You think so?
Because it's such a strong tempo play. Oh, yes. God, yes. It's in my
Django for sure.
It's in my Django deck, right?
Really?
Django, Boba, those, it's so good.
It's only once on when played, right?
Right, but it doesn't matter. Like, think about it. It's about when you're playing it. It has everything to do with the fact that it's a turn 2 play.
And it can also hit for 5 to base if you have no units when you play it. If your opponent has no units, you're hitting 3, and then it's hitting base, so then you ready it, and now you're going to hit another 2.
Yep.
It's pretty crazy.
All right, I think I might need a little more convincing, but we'll talk about the meta as it develops in the next couple of weeks. But okay, sorry, go ahead.
But even in a draft and sealed environment, I do think that it's very good. Because,
In particular, you're
not a very finely honed deck, so having your opponents probably aren't going to have something that they definitely would play every single time in a constructed deck on turn 1. And so you're probably going to get something that is potentially killable with that 3 damage.
Yeah. All right, cool.
And then, you know, so it really, and that's the thing I think just in general with this set that's going to be very prevalent is indirect damage. I mean, obviously we're going to see it because it's on a lot of cards, but I think the unspoken kind of thing about this is that it makes your opponent spend mental cycles figuring out where they're going to put that damage. And that mental fatigue over the course of a couple games can really add up. So, like, yeah. It's the sort of the soft skills thing that happens with this, or I don't know if soft skills is the right word, but you know, it's like it's you weren't expecting this, or I wasn't expecting it, but it's just like, oh, I really have to think about what I'm doing in relation to this, and it's going to make your opponents think, and some people are going to make the wrong choice, and that's going to win you some games.
Yep, fair enough. How about you, Corey?
Yeah, I mentioned right before we moved into the segment, but Luke, I think, is going to be everywhere. If you get him in draft, you're keeping him. You're definitely keeping him. There are so many fighters in this deck. And what Luke does is when you attack with a fighter, you can just ping something for one. And we've talked about how you want to trade up. You want to be able to remove units without having to, you know, lose tempo and things like that. And so Luke being able to do that is fantastic because you're almost always triggering that. Yeah. And then when he flips and he's an upgrade, he's dealing 3 damage to a unit like every time he attacks. So he's a big body. He's always hitting, always doing damage. It's just a very strong, and there's some good hero cards in red, green, I mean, yellow, like blue, like it all works. So
yeah,
red 5, baby.
Yeah,
put him on red 5 every time.
Or blue leader, even, like, it's just crazy. Like,
well, red amazing, 5 particularly bonkers though.
The thing with with Luke is it's like blue leader and red 5, of course, is amazing, but with blue leader, like, you can pick which side you want to be. Like, do I want Luke on the ground or do I want Luke in space? Like, it's, you have these options now, and it's hard to counter that. Rose is a great way to do it, but yeah. So
yeah,
that's been that's my draft leader. The card that I've been most like, especially in a limited or sealed, and I think in draft too, could be really good. And because, like we mentioned, the removal, there's not much removal, and in this game you need removal, is Out the Airlock. Out the Airlock is a -5/5 for 5.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
with Luke as well, because you're pinging stuff, and so how there's not that much out there that's 6 health or more, right? Or more than 6 health, right?
Yeah.
So if you have that Out the Airlock, it's basically killing anything that they put out if you have Luke, because you're pinging for one, and then if it's a 6 damage, you're doing that. So it's easy removal there. They have nothing to stop it.
Yeah.
Shields don't, so Out the Airlock's been a pretty interesting card. So
yeah, Out the Airlock is so good because someone can use all the resources like upgrading a card or a unit, and all of a sudden it's just negative. It's -5/-5 for 5 cost, right?
-5, yeah.
That's just
5/5, yeah.
Backbreaking, where they'll trade in with like a Swarming Vulture to take out like Aratus, and then you still have your entire board left to play. That's just insane. No, you know, I totally forgot about the card. That is a pretty good removal. It's uncommon, I think, though, right? It's like,
it is.
Might be, yeah.
It's uncommon, so and if you do pull it, yeah. Blue's always strong. I've always Blue's always strong. In my sets. All right.
I got a foil version here, which is, if you're on the YouTube, you can see.
Yeah. Out the Airlock. Nice. Okay. So Rob, how about closing in on the
last common, by the way.
Oh, it's a common? So okay, that's even better. Yep. So Rob, end of the meta, bold prediction. Because you know how I like kind of encouraging bold predictions.
Bold
predictions for the top 3 leaders for draft this set.
For draft.
So. And tell me why it's Trench. Sorry, no good.
Somebody's gonna lock Trench. It isn't gonna be me, but it's the same. He's like a better version of Aphra, basically, at the end of the day. I think it's going to be probably, my gut says Wedge, Thrawn, I'm gonna go a little bit of a wild card here. Vonreg.
Okay, I could see Vonreg
because he's so fast. Like, yeah, you're just if you draft the right cards for him, you're gonna have so much stuff that your opponents are not gonna be able to answer. And I think he flips on four. You flip if you pull a Vonreg's tie and you flip him onto that. Good night.
Yeah, get a couple of rounds. Okay, cool. I think that's it for. I think we're running out of time. We're getting to late into the evening, so hopefully this worked out in terms of the segmenting of the episode. Maybe some of you guys didn't even know, if you're listening out here, didn't even really notice the kind of the difference. But we're gonna try to do something like that, a little more formulaic in terms of structure for hitting all the bases as it relates to the game, right? So something about collecting. Right. For example, we talked about those grading cards, which I think is fantastic to talk about, especially for newer players that might want to get into the collecting of it all, not necessarily the meta. But we will talk about meta. And then finally, just so happened today, we talked about draft, but other times it's going to be some other topic like changes to the rule set for AKA. If you haven't heard, ties are coming in, intentional draws. So we'll talk about that next week after the news comes out on Friday. I think it is this Friday, the 14th right. of March, 2025. Okay. So anyway, just as another quick wrap up for logistics. If you stayed here, if you stayed on until the end, reminder, I'm going to post a link to like a raffle sign up sheet, essentially like entry form, where you're going to get, as a podcast listener, you will get an innumerable more amount of of votes than an average person who's I might mention on like a podcast on like one of the other YouTube videos. Anyway, until next time, thank you for your time, everyone. Thank you guys for joining me, and may the force be with you.